top Fox News headquarters in New York City. Always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
So glad you're there. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show coming your way. We are definitely at war with Iran right now. This is a long time in coming, 47 years coming. If you've been watching the coverage, there's no better coverage. I've been flipping around. Nobody's close. These people are angry. President Trump took action. Six other presidents took a degree of action. But this is going directly at a regime, and they've lost at least 49 high-ranking officials. Best of all is the worst of all. That's the Grand Ayatollah. And before we get to Lawrence Jones a little bit later, John Crist, we have to welcome another great affiliate into the family of stations, KLOO Clue over in Corvallis, Oregon. They launched today, so we're privileged to have with them. It's News Radio 1340 Clue AM. So there you go. Thanks so much for joining on a historic day. Lawrence, we've been covering this on Saturday for 4 hours and today for 3 hours. We have thousands of attacks inside Iran. And we have wherever the best fighting force, pound for pound, along with us in the world, fighting with us, Israel. Not our European allies, not our NATO allies. It's us and Israel. And how would you gauge the success so far?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you lose men and women, you're obviously praying for them and all that. But the mission as a whole has been an intelligent and military, you know, something that is going to be studied in history books for generations to come. Brian, I want to pick up on the conversation we were having off air, which is what the Secretary of War and the general, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs were talking about. Part of why the president made this decision is part of the rebuild of the program were the defense systems. And they were trying to not just rebuild the program, but if America did see them rebuilding the program, they wanted their defenses to be at a level where they couldn't be attacked. I think that is extremely important.
Well, the S-300 system is what the Russians and Chinese have, roughly, and they gave it to the Chinese, and they gave it to the Iranians, and the Israelis last year blew up a lot of it, and then we finished it off this time. Now, I'm not sure what they have left, but it's showing that we could penetrate it. Also, you heard the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying we've done some things with cyber I can't discuss right now. But it totally gave an illusion of a hail of drones and fighter jets when there's really only a handful and they weren't even where they were depicted. So giving people a sense of seeing ghosts when you thought you were counting on your latest cyber technology.
Well, they also said, I'm trying to remember if it was the President of the United States or the War Department that said that part of those cyber capabilities, a lot of them they have not even used yet.
Right.
So some of these were fresh, but they have more. By the way, they also said that there is more of the fighting force that is heading that way. So although the president wants to do this quickly, he also wants to get this right too, Brian.
Yeah, so last night I talked to the chairman of the War College, Major John Spencer, up at West Point. Okay. Here's what he said about what he's not. I said, what is your observations right now for a guy that studies war every day? Cut 15.
It's literally a change in the character of war, a historic operation that has no parallel outside of Israel's 12-day war, the opening moments. I don't think people are grasping. I was on the ground in the invasion of Iraq. It took us 9 months to get Saddam and many of that deck of cards. Took us 9 years to get bin Laden, and some of those al-Qaeda leaders are still around, not many of them. But to eliminate the Ayatollah, the Minister of Defense, 40 senior leaders in the first 24 hours should put the fear of God in any enemy of the United States or Israel.
Well, so, Brian, this is where I come at it. I think prior, we had leaders with good intentions, but were risk-averse. And I think what this War Department, under the president's leadership, is saying, send everything that we have. Use all the technology that we haven't used before. Let's get it done. Let's get it done quickly. But we're going to come guns blazing to destroy the enemy. And I think that is a philosophy shift in the military.
I agree. Go as hard as you can. Overwhelming force, and also send a message to our enemies. And by the way, the Iranians have Russia and China as allies. They were doing military exercises last week with Russia. Where are they today? Strung out.
Quiet.
Hold up against Ukraine. A country they were supposed to take in weeks, they're now in their fourth year. Here's General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, talking about the objective so far. Cut four.
This is not a single overnight operation. The military objectives that CENTCOM and the Joint Force have been tasked with will take some time to achieve, and in some cases will be difficult and gritty work. We expect to take additional losses, and as always, we will work to minimize U.S. losses. But as the Secretary said, this is major combat operations.
And we did. We lost four guys. Five were wounded, three were killed, and we lost another one about a few hours ago. It looks like a drone got through in Kuwait, and that's where it hit. The other thing is the targets Iran has chose to hit, not our bases, but our Gulf state allies.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. Right?
Well, this is also huge.
And the United them against us, for us, rather.
Well, that I'm so glad you said the against us part, because that's what their intention was before. They wanted to unite them together against America, against Israel. And by attacking them, they have managed to do the opposite. Brian, you've been doing this way longer than me. So when I hear Democrats say they don't understand the mission objectives, when I feel like they've been quite thorough with laying it out. What do you read that being? Is that just partisan politics, or they really don't understand?
Well, they should be honest and say, we wish we were briefed in more detail. Okay. I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
But instead they said, we have no clear objective. Donald Trump doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm watching these clowns. And I really mean that, because it's not a matter of, you're not debating health care. You're not debating border security. You're debating war against an enemy that has been transparent to anyone who's what was in high school in 1979. You know, you watch this over and over again every other day, whether it's the Iraq war, Saddam Hussein against Iran, whether it's Israel being attacked and surrounded. You see the hostages being taken. You see the Khobar Towers being executed. You see bin Laden's family. They stopped on the way to getting to Afghanistan. They stopped to refuel in Iran. And when the war broke out and bin Laden was forced away, most of his family stayed in Iran. They've been all over the terror attacks for us. And then to fuel that insurgency and leave a militia in Iraq today, hurting our objectives and bringing some semblance of order there. Iraq wants nothing to do with Iranians, but they have no chance of standing up to them yet. Now they can, but that's what they've been up to. Please don't pretend as if we don't know what Iran has been up to for the last 47 years. That's my problem. When you come out against it, and man, I have a whole bunch of critics. Listen to the worst. Here's Chris Murphy, cut 29.
Nobody in this country is asking for war with Iran. Just like months ago, no one in this country was asking for war with Venezuela. This president is intentionally tanking our economy. He's the most corrupt president in the history of our nation. And Americans want him to focus on the crises here at home. Instead, he is busy getting us involved in quagmires overseas that already are becoming deadly to American soldiers. This is a disaster. It is illegal. And the president is obligated under the Constitution to come to Congress and ask for an authorization of military force.
No, he's not. Go ahead.
And no credibility. The president of the United States is intentionally tanking our economy. Are you kidding me? I mean, when you say that type of stuff,
I'm done. Yeah,
I can't listen to it. And you layer this nonsense, and I know, Brian.
By the way, where is Margaret Brennan?
I know.
Where's Margaret Brennan?
Well,
what's the push? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Where's the pushback? And you layer this insanity with our elected officials that are saying this nonsense, and then we're not even going to talk about the people on the right now. We talked about that, but then you got the UK. What are you guys doing? What are you afraid of? Radical Islam is thriving in the UK right now. Who do you think are inspiring these people? And you don't want to give us access to the base? And then once everything hits the fan, now you want to give us access.
Right. And what happens is when we talk to the General Secretary of NATO this morning, and he's trying to cover a little bit, but the Prime Minister says, well, I don't think we have authorization to have a war there. Therefore, it's illegal. You can't use Diego Garcia base. We asked for it. Now they were targeted in, I think it was Qatar. Their base was targeted in Qatar. So now they say they're going to support the effort. France is going to support the effort. And we also see Germany is going to support the effort. Why? Their barracks was hit in Erbil.
Of course.
So they said, you know, we have to do this. And the thing is, they wanted to say, I'm so insulted about Greenland and Donald Trump is acting impetuously. And then they just watch an operation they weren't consulted on, they weren't asked to contribute to, and they see what goes on and they say, wait a second, I think I'm on the wrong side of this because they're an enemy to us too. They're an enemy to all of Europe. They had they have rockets, missiles, able to hit right into the heart of Europe. And they know it. And then they realize, how did this happen? And right. Now they jump in.
Right. You know, why are they responding like some of the Arab countries in the Middle East? Like they're saying, oh, yeah, but privately, we support the president of the United States. But we can't say that publicly. Like, you, at least you understand. You disagree with the position, but you understand it because they got radicals in their population, right? But why is the UK, why is NATO partners responding the same way as these countries? It makes zero sense. And you, when the president says, and I understand, there are many people from the UK that fought and died in Afghanistan and Iraq. But when the president says they're not going to show up, you prove him right when you don't give us access to the base.
Right. Yeah. So now they've changed. But I'll tell you, this prime minister who's on death's door as a politician, he looks scared to death making an announcement. And you have a foreign minister who is on BBC or GBN over there. And they was just saying, well, why don't you just firmly say that you support over? He could not say it. Over Iran. Right. They're scared of the Iranian population, or they think this is illegal war. Was it illegal to kill 36,000 of their own people?
That's right.
Where was your outrage at this point? How many more have to die? How many more Brits have to be taken hostage?
But that's why this president, and by the way, you know, what happened in Texas, you know, apparently this guy is illegal.
From Senegal.
But think about all the illegals that are in this country that came from that region. Who was it that did that hearing, Pam Bondi, that lays out the state of the amount of Iranians that are here illegally in the country, the people that they know of and the people they don't know of? I mean, that screams. This is why the president has a hard line on this issue.
Yeah, by the way, there was over 1,500 that came to our southern border from Iran.
Right.
And Joe Biden let 792 in, and that doesn't count the gotaways. Man,
right.
Those gotaways,
right.
Where you just know they're there, but you don't stop them. You spot them, but you don't stop them, so they end up here. Let's do one long segment rather than keep you up for two. I know you want to get started your day. That's probably better. Michael Oren said that he thinks the worst is going to come for us now. And here's the reason. Who is he? He's the Israeli ambassador to the United States, who's also a veteran. Cut 22.
My gut feeling tells me that Iran will focus more on American targets now than Israeli targets. They know by firing at us, they get very small payback. Our anti-missile technology has taken down the vast yep. majority of these rockets. It's not foolproof. Some get through. But they're going to try to create more American hostages, American casualties in order to put more pressure on the president.
Because they feel the casualties will turn it around and get Democrats more exercised. So he feels they're going to go for that.
I mean, I think it's definitely a possibility, but our defense systems are better. And so I don't see that being as much as happening as it is that they're going to focus now on the homegrown people in America. The inspiration ISIS-like videos that you're going to see propagating around there, they are going to try, the people that are sleeping within the country, get them riled up, and you're going to have these one-off events. Do we have a response for that? I'm way more confident in this FBI than the other ones. But Americans, don't change your daily life, but you got to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah, there's people that are going to act. But then I'm saying to myself, too, they're acting by the half a government that they know most are dead and more will die.
Right.
So they have to say, well, this is my mission. Well, wait a second. They got to put me on my missions dead.
Right.
You know, so maybe I want to stay here.
Right.
You know, so let's just hope that they're not too far gone if they're looking for terror activity. So there's a worry, you know, something can happen in a nightclub or what just happened in Austin, Texas. Absolutely. There's people that are going to be radicalized. But the other thing you have to keep in mind, too, is that they told us that if you killed Nasrallah or a religious leader, it's going to inflame an entire region. They killed Nasrallah a year ago. Didn't do anything. There's a report, too. Nasrallah's replacement was killed minutes after declaring war on Israel. We'll see if that ends up out coming out. But I think Israel on some level welcomes Hezbollah shooting rockets in, because I think they want to finish them off. Yeah, they want to finish them off. And this would be, you know, they have a tenuous ceasefire, and they want to give Lebanon back to the Lebanese. And they can't do it with that planter's wart, that infectious cancer that's wielding their power, financed by Iran, and used to be financed by Syria. But Assad's in Russia and Khomeini's in hell.
Yeah, and I also, Brian, to that point of finishing the job, this is where I disagree with some people on our side. I believe in peace, and I think that the president has a noble cause, and he's been able to get a lot of peace with a lot of Arab nations, Muslim nations.
Economic ties.
And but trust. It's different for these people in Iran. They're on a suicide mission. They're clerics. They believe it is deep. It's religious. I don't think there's a deal to be done. No. You have to finish them off.
Yeah, finish them off. They were supposed to, before they died, they said, the Ayatollah said, before he died, that you have to go four deep. So if something happens to you, everyone knows the depth chart. I think we're about too deep.
Right.
Keep going. Lawrence, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. So Lawrence Jones doing a great job, and I wore him out today. Got another 22 minutes out of him. Back with you in just a moment. And John Chris at the bottom of the hour. Don't move.
From breaking news to big name guests, Brian brings you insight you won't hear anywhere else. You're listening to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Keep up to date with the very latest in Iran. Follow and listen to the Fox News Hourly Update podcast and dive deep with the Fox News Rundown podcast. Get them now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
I call upon all Iranian patriots who yearn for freedom to seize this moment, to be brave, be bold, be heroic, and take back your country. America is with you. I made a promise to you, and I fulfilled that promise. The rest will be up to you.
And that is the President of the United States. I thought in 2 8-minute addresses just nailed everything. This is why we're doing it. This is what we're doing. This is what I worry about. This is where I'm going. He said, don't come out yet, Iranian people. But when we're done, take back your country. When people say, what's next? Ask the Iranian people what's next. Because what's now doesn't work for us. Because you made our now terrible. And our now has lasted 47 years. What do people not understand? If Trump lined up a government, in exile and said, I'm going to put them in at 12 o'clock, March 5th. They'd say, what are you doing? You're picking a government for another country? That's called regime change. What we're saying is that regime's targeting us. Remember, the Grand Ayatollah said, death to America is not a it's not a slogan. It is a policy. All right. And what have you done about it? Well, I've let thousands of Americans die. Started with 52 hostages being taken for 444 days. What do we do? Nothing. 241 Marines get blown up in Beirut. What do we do? Nothing. 600 Americans die in Iraq on an insurgency as Iran inserted themselves. What do we do? Nothing. How many were maimed? Over 1,000. What do we do? Nothing. Soleimani's dead, thanks to Trump. They tried to do a deal under Obama. He ripped that up, thankfully. They passed on a deal with Biden, and now they're holding on for their lives.
Complete coverage of the latest in Iran continues on Fox News Radio. And listen to Brian Kilmeade, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, Will Cain, and Guy Benson. Download the Fox News app and click listen. If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
So one of our favorite guests of all time, and I don't just say it because you can hear me, John Chris, comedian extraordinaire, just appearing in New York, even though you have nothing in common with New Yorkers. Why is that you are selling out venues here?
No.
You don't understand New Yorkers. I live in New York. I'm from New York. I don't understand them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're thriving in a culture that you wouldn't think embraces John Chris humor.
Well, you don't know who's out there. Right. When you walk out to the show, I mean, you've probably experienced this different areas of the country. You walk out there, you go, we'll see who's
Let's
here.
Let's see.
We'll see.
But they did choose to come by buying a ticket, John.
Yeah, and I think they, you know what's the best? I'll say this to you. The best cities for me to do comedy is blue cities surrounded by red.
Wow, okay.
That's what makes the best, because you need a little bit of...
So you're always coaching me on where to do the shows.
Yeah, the blue city surrounded by, like if you do Asheville, North Carolina.
Or Seattle.
Yeah, very blue, but surrounded by...
Normalcy.
Yeah.
Just like practical people.
You just need a little... You need a standing ovation and two people walking out. That's the perfect combo for
you're
a show.
You're going to be at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville March 8th and on the 19th, Milwaukee, at the Pabst Theater, named after the beer.
That's true.
Definitely the beer.
Yeah, I guess every city is blue surrounded
by
red.
The last time I had a Pabst, I pulled off the tab and threw it on the ground. Remember those days?
You didn't like
it. You shouldn't. In the 1970s, everyone was cutting their feet open because we didn't wear shoes and there were a lot of tabs.
That sounds like something my parents would say. Back when we were growing up, everybody was cutting their feet
open. The Michigan Theater in Jackson. That's going to be in Jackson, Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, you have too many. Go to johnchris.com.
Too many on there. Yeah. I'm out there spreading the good word.
So that's why when you take off, you really need off. You take off in the summers, right?
Yeah. We take off in the summers and in the winters.
So when you were in New York City, what did you notice yesterday? Because we're, you know what's going on with Iran.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just walking through Times Square, and we come across this, there's hundreds of Iranian flags. And so I go, everybody's yelling, screaming.
And you're thinking, okay, another protest.
Well, I go up to the cop. I go, hey, are these people happy or sad? Like, are they, you know what I'm saying? I go,
they're yelling.
What side are they on? What side are they? And he goes, the one cop goes, I don't know. I just got here. Ask this other cop. So I go, hey, because I was like, is this like a dangerous situation? And he goes, these people are happy. These people are thrilled. People are crying in the streets.
And then what did you see with the signs?
Well, the signs said, thank you. They were shouting, Trump, thank you.
In New York City.
I could not believe, brother, Brian, I could not believe what I was seeing. We just stood there. The people were thanking me because they were like, you're American. Thank you for what you've done. I go, all right. And especially in today, I think with AI, because you see something on Twitter.
Right.
You go,
No one trusts.
Remember you would see like a kid in a cage and they were like, this is what. And then he was like, oh, that was from 2012. And you go, oh, well, I don't know what I'm looking at here. You can't never trust what's. So, I saw that with my own eyes yesterday in this city.
So I can't tell you how embarrassed I am, even though I don't vote in New York City, that we have a mayor who basically hates the country and says billionaires should be illegal, you're in trouble then because you are a billionaire at this point. But you sell out every venue. It's got to be $1 billion because you don't pay your crew anything.
Inflation.
I mean, your writers, you give them college credit, but many of them are in their 50s.
I'm asking you I'm asking you for tips. Right. That's why I don't pay my crew.
So listen to what the mayor says. And you said you were doing some mayor jokes last night. Yeah. But he said, today's military strikes in Iran, meaning Saturday, this was written on Saturday, carried out by the United States and Israel, mark a catastrophic escalation in an illegal war of aggression. Yeah. Bombing cities, killing civilians, opening up a new theater of war. Americans do not want this. Really?
Well, seemed like they did in Times Square yesterday.
Right, absolutely.
I would say this. It seems like we need to hear, maybe white women on the left, let's have a seat for a little bit.
Thank you.
Let's hear from if you live in Iran,
yes,
or have a parents or family in Iran, I would like to hear from you. If you live in Venezuela, I would like to hear from you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I was saying to myself, he's not even being smart about it. He didn't make a call 1-800-Iranian-Muslim.
Yeah.
Because if he did, he would go, this regime is not popular. Yeah. 99% of the 91 million, maybe 95% hate the regime.
Yeah.
Yet he's siding with the 5%.
Yeah.
And is there a woman out there?
So confusing.
You don't have a hijab or a hijab on, you could be put in jail.
For
life or killed, right? When I asked the brain room, because I didn't even trust AI, I said, can you just run down?
What's the brain room?
We have a brain room at Fox just to get things right.
Okay,
so we have a place to go.
Yep.
So it's a ground, so all shows have the same information.
You and Greg Gutfeld in there?
Gutfeld doesn't even know we have a brain room. He has no idea. He hasn't been fact-checked since 1981, and that didn't go well either. So,
okay, sorry.
Yeah.
You asked the brain room.
Yeah, I know that he's the only other guy know besides me on the channel. So
in the brain room.
Right.
Well, don't you think...
But the women are just treated awful. I mean, you can... they're supposed to get married. You can give, your parents can give you away at 13. Unless you get special dispensation, you can be married off at 11.
Yeah.
Is that people happy? That's what Jane Fonda was protesting for. I mean, that's what she was doing over the weekend.
And there's no, like, she was protesting against the Iranian regime.
For the Ayatollah. For the
against Trump.
Yeah, because no more North Vietnamese, it's hard to really get some momentum going.
Did you know, you ever been like in all these ICE protests? I've looked at them and I said, where are the Latinos?
Thank you.
Where are they?
Yeah, who are you going to bat for? Name one.
Where are the Latinos that, like, they, I feel like, the, and I could be wrong, I don't speak for them, they're like, we don't want illegals in our neighborhood either.
Right.
We don't want crime in our neighborhood either. Like, why aren't they here?
Exactly.
I've asked that about every protest. So, I go, it's white elites.
So you are, you're in the Hollywood world. I mean, you're a celebrity.
Yeah.
Right? You're in comedy.
Yeah.
You're entertainment.
Yeah.
But then why aren't you wearing a little button that says ICE out?
Yeah. Why?
Because you weren't at the Grammys. Oh, yeah. Because you can't sing.
But you don't, you know, you're, it seems like, everybody has to think for themselves, and it's for a career advancement.
Right. If someone handed John Crist a button to say anything, you'd
nothing,
be like, take it back. I'll make my own.
I'll make my own button, or I'm not wearing it.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't even know where to make a button.
It's all about.
Can you believe we're still making buttons?
It's 2026.
Yes, we're still making buttons.
What do you have a button on? Yeah. It doesn't. I like how comedy is basically going. You know, we're on the radio, but it's going, about everything.
I agree.
We used to sit in the back of church. My dad's a preacher. And you would go, we'd sit in the back of class in high school and go, and that's what we're doing with everything. You go, and Trump, in his credit, he's gone off and we said, to him too.
Right.
So he's, that's fair. He's
absolutely
okay. Yeah, he's like, he's okay to be criticized.
But there are times when he's being clearly sarcastic and they take him literally. He goes, I don't think I'm getting into heaven. I see this article in New York Times, Donald Trump doubting the afterlife. You know, so I'm like, what are you talking about? He's kidding. You know, what are you nuts? I mean, like, look, when Rob Reiner dies, you don't need to say he didn't like Trump.
Yeah.
Right?
Could
but I would just
alone.
Lay the yeah. I would lay yeah. that. But that's what you're talking
with
about.
With I think everybody on the right could be like, it would be nice if he goes, the escalation in Minnesota, this is not good for anybody.
He actually said that.
Yeah, then everybody goes, oh. And if he did say it, then we didn't know about it. It somehow didn't get on the airwaves.
Right. So
it somehow didn't get to anybody.
Yeah, he goes, listen, I think we have to have a lighter touch. You know, nobody wants to see two people die.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, okay, that's a good reaction. And now he says, Tom Homan, you're in charge. That's called an adjustment.
Yeah.
So if you acknowledge the adjustment, I'll take your criticism more.
Yeah.
But John, we've had this
first
conversation.
Every time we come in here.
So I want you to hear SNL, which I'm older than you. So I remember when SNL, I used to sit there and laugh and just like enjoy both sides being ripped. George W. Bush is dumb. Al Gore is stiff. John Kerry is problematic. And
Bush, Clinton, too. Yeah. They did Clinton. It was
Will
great.
Ferrell played
Obama.
W.
They went out there.
It started with Chevy Chase making fun of Gerald R. Ford as Gerald Ford is clumsy. Right?
Yeah. Then, I don't remember that.
And Dana Carvey. Sorry. Dana Carvey. We used to do George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
And he was so good. Bush invited him to the White House.
Yeah.
And then they invited Chevy Chase to the White House. And he was going to say no. And Ford's like, listen, you've been killing me. I'm asking one favor.
You can't come to the White House.
So I want you to hear this weekend. I read about this. I read the headline and Eric pulled the cut. Okay. Is this from Weekend Update? Oh, it's a cold open. Let's listen.
Of course.
Good evening and happy World War III to all who celebrate. It's me, Donald Trump, FIFA Peace Prize winner and Nobel Peace Prize taker. Yoink. Remember when I did that? I launched this attack after me and my board of peace decided that we were bored of peace. Little wordplay there. Did you catch it? As we all know, Iran has been 2 weeks away from developing a nuclear weapon for like the last 15 years or something. So we had to act now and we're doing war. War! What is it good for? Distracting from the Epstein files.
Okay. Right. I mean,
it's like anybody that we kind of run into on the right or the left, it we say as comedians, like, don't allow yourself to be co-opted.
Yeah.
So you're like, I probably wouldn't go to the inauguration either side. So a comedian has to stay back,
yep,
and go, what? And if that, like, SNL has
done that.
SNL has been co-opted.
Yeah.
By the, you can't, you know, does that make sense? You can't trust what they're saying.
Well, it's the same thing with late night TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really the same thing. I mean, it's because they can't even afford to alienate their what's left of their audience.
And just declining by the day.
Right.
By the second.
And I know we've been over this, but you could go find Carson Cutts. Him and Reagan were great friends.
Yeah.
He was killing Reagan.
I feel like.
With humor.
Guys kill Trump, and I think he's fun with them.
Right.
He's like, yeah.
But it's so simple, John. Go hit Trump, but then you have somebody on the left come out there and goes, but by the way, Iran's a problem. But didn't you say 20 years ago they weren't a problem? Well, that was then. Yeah. So then all of a sudden you're like, okay, they're showing the extreme on both sides.
Yeah. And it like, if you stay silent, like what we wonder back in during the election when you look at Charlie Kirk that was going on, like, who, this is an honest question for everybody listening. Who on the left, like if they killed Charlie Kirk for what he was standing up for, right? Who on the left are you scared of what they would say? Nobody. Kamala, talk all you want.
Yeah, please.
Go say, like, go on every pod. I feel like the ideas break down. All of the ideas, they go, well, that doesn't make sense. You said the women shouldn't be in the bathroom. But then they all the ideas, once they are on long form conversation, they fall apart. We wouldn't be scared of anyone on the left
talking.
Absolutely not.
Michael Moore? Go ahead.
Go, Rachel Maddow, go.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah. Kamala, go. Joe Biden, go. What's his name in California? Newsom. Go.
Yeah.
And then all the clips show up of them looking nuts.
We're following all the war with war correspondent John Crist, who's also when you have
to. That's in my title on my website. Crist,
yeah.
I'm going to add it to my Twitter bio.
John, I know you had you on next week, but you can move it up a week earlier. We're bombing Iran.
Yeah, and I didn't plan.
So
I should have planned
it. Scrambled to the country. You scrambled to our
studio. New York City needed me.
Right, but you were last night was very successful.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
You were at Town Hall.
I said thank you to Mamdani for getting these streets plowed. I used the mic stand. I was plowing the whole time. It was great, dude.
He was so terrible. And also, sanitation forgot to pick up the garbage. They had no idea.
Oops.
They were just driving around with an empty truck. They said, shouldn't we be stopping?
Is that true?
No, you had to see how bad the sanitation was. I don't know how he did it, but he got everyone in sanitation so angry they forgot to pick up garbage.
Wow, oops. Yeah, they're probably shoveling.
It doesn't happen in Nashville where you were raised.
Yeah, no. But he's so nice.
Right.
So he woos you.
You look a little like him. I hate to tell you. Have people told you look a little Ugandan?
I do. I look a little Mamdani-ish.
You do. More in this a moment. We also... Gavin Newsom, you have an interesting way of winning over audience. So to Gavin Newsom, I'm going to play his, and maybe you want to use this with your crowd.
Let's learn.
Back in a moment.
Illuminating, intriguing, inculcating.
I know some of these words.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Detractors on CNN are saying that Trump had no authorization for this war, but he actually did. Netanyahu said it was okay. I can't believe our leader could just attack Iran with no vote, no permission from Congress or anything. I mean, what is this, Iran?
There you go. That's Weekend Update over the weekend. An equal opportunity offender, John Crist is here. John, where do we get all, I mean, not that you need it, but because your social media drives everybody to your shows, but where do we get your whole list of shows?
Oh, man. JohnChristComedy.com.
Okay.
Yeah, we got 35 dates in the spring.
35
dates. Get out there, brother. Well, that's a couple weekends.
Even Billy Joel just called and said, dial it back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is like
stadium at a time.
It's incredible.
Hey, the people need to be encouraged.
Right. Yeah, and how much new material are you writing?
100. It's all new. I mean, it's not all new from last night to tonight, but it'll be.
You're building.
Yeah, you throw a couple jokes in. Now, I can't do the Mamdani jokes in Louisville.
You might.
It only works here. Yeah.
So, the Weekend Update.
Well, what's wild about listening to that, and those are comedians that we all came up together.
They do stand up, yeah.
What's wild about that is that's written for you. Like, yes. That's not what they think. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you? Like, that's a serious, what you're saying there. That's corporate.
Yes.
And you're saying it. Right. Like, that's the antithesis of what a comedian was supposed to be.
Do the opposite. Say, corporate told me to write this.
I'm not, like, remember, what's his name that would go, Norm MacDonald. Say why he goes not on the prompter and just go off the script. And Conan was, that's why they loved that guy.
Yeah, the whole
because they were like, I cannot believe he's saying this.
Yeah.
Imagine being the cold read through and you get literally from corporate, say those words we just heard and think you're the op, like you're the mainstream. You're not the opposition.
Nobody,
does that make sense?
Yes. And by the way, John Crist is here, and that's just a little of the Saturday Night Live that nobody watched. But I want you to hear Gavin Newsom, not trying to be funny, but tell me if you think this is an effective way to win over a mostly black audience.
Let's hear it.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. And, you know, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech.
So do you feel like you're more like an... What's he doing?
That's like, all right, if I said, hey, Brian, come over to my hotel room later, you'll be safe. You're like, why did you say you'll be safe? Why did you say that? You're like, I'm just like you. Why did you say?
Yeah.
So what do you think about me? It comes through.
And he blasts Foxy. I go, Cornel West. Like, what are you blasting Fox for? Cornel West said that that's the most racist thing he's ever seen.
It's the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Right.
Wait, 960 is bad.
Right.
Very bad.
Right? Evidently, back then.
What's good?
That's average. So he's saying, I have average SAT scores and he has dyslexia. So one of the reporters asked, can you just show me where the paperwork is that you have dyslexia? Because you just commented the other day that you read a book in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And he's like, they said, hey, thanks for the inquiry.
I remember that. Yeah.
F you.
Yeah.
That was from his communications director.
You said, you said it. Just help us. Yeah.
Help us help you.
Right. It's wild that it all just kind of comes apart after you go, here's the mic.
No,
we see this all the time.
If we get another war, will you come back?
Yeah, I'll be here.
You will
I'll be back. Only if.
If this, because I need the experts in.
Deal.
John Crist is nobody funnier. Thanks so much. Find him wherever he goes, where he visits, johncrist.com.
Great to be here as always, brother.
Back in a moment.
News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. So glad you're there. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show coming your way. 1-866-408-7669. This hour, we welcome back to the show Michael Goodwin shortly and Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery. He's the senior director of the Center on Cyber Technology and Innovation for the Freedom of Defense of Democracies. Keep in mind, cyber has a lot to do with this. They can't detail yet, but they were creating illusions for these Iraqi monitors with their missile defense. Meanwhile, oil is a problem. Oil is rising per barrel. We knew when you have an operation like this one in Iran, where 20% of the world's oil, mostly UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar, go through that Strait of Hormuz. There's a threat right now from Iran, and they could mine it, and therefore it's hard to get insurance, so merchant ships are pretty much not going through. So we'll see. About 15 million barrels of oil go through there. So that is one thing to keep in mind. Also, the Gang of Eight to receive a briefing on Iran today. Tomorrow will be the Senate, and the House will be, I think, on Wednesday or in the second half of tomorrow. I'm not clear on that. Right now, it looks like, in terms of oil, $72 per barrel. Couple of things. After wiping out 49 of the 49 leaders, including the Grand Ayatollah, it looks like this guy, Larjani, is in charge now. He says he will not negotiate with us. Good. This guy is as brutal as it gets. He went and toured the Gulf states and warned them not to get involved. They got involved. They allowed us to use their bases. They are striking the Gulf states back, therefore unifying the Gulf states and galvanizing them for the first time. They have their own mini NATO. They might get militarily in action. Also, they've hit assets in trying to hit us. They've hit assets for the French, for the Germans, and the British all have now said they are going to get involved and will help out. What's that going to mean? Well, Michael Goodwin always writes with great perspective for the New York Post. This latest column, especially the death of Ayatollah Khomeini, instantly makes the world a better place. Michael, people are saying, why do we need this war? Number one, his death makes us all safer, don't you think?
I do, Brian. Thank you. Look, there will always be questions about war, but I think that the president laid out very clear markers about the nuclear program Iran had. And there were certainly many opportunities for Iran to find a way out of this. Instead, they basically thumbed their nose at every demand. And so here we are.
President's wiping out so many, and not easily. You know, Venezuela, we still got to land that plane, but man, so far, so impressive. And then Cuba, I think, is ready to blow. And the other big story that not everyone, dating back to the 1960s, presidents have tried to convert back to democracy. It has not worked. That's about to end, it seems. And then Iran's been a problem since 1979. Listen to General, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Kane, talk about what they're up to now and why we're in this mission. Cut five.
Across every domain, land, air, sea, cyber, the U.S. Joint Force delivered synchronized and layered effects designed to disrupt, degrade, deny, and destroy Iran's ability to conduct and sustain combat operations. On the U.S. side, this marked the culmination of months and in some cases years of deliberate planning and refinement against this particular target set. From precision strikes against key military infrastructure to persistent intelligence and targeting integration to the close coordination of the components across vast distances, this operation again demonstrated America's reach, readiness, and professionalism, and that of our joint united force.
He's not exaggerating.
No, I have to say, Brian, right out of the box, I was incredibly amazed at how broad this attack was. And when you look at all the different bases, the nuclear sites, and, of course, the leadership, this thing was planned. I mean, you had this armada in the region, and, of course, you had the Israeli component. So this was a vast planning. You wonder who could keep all the many elements in their head or even on their computer, because this thing would had so many fronts in it, so many assets used. This was a remarkable attempt to decapitate the leadership and to really dethrone the whole administration in Iran and, of course, defeat it militarily, take out the nuclear sites, take out the missiles. This was some operation for the ages.
No question. And it was amazing how many people are playing politics who have high-level security clearances and still can't help themselves. To me, so inappropriate. If Joe Biden had done the same attack, Lindsey Graham, Tom Cotton, and the others, they would say, great job. They said this has been an objective. They've been a problem since 1979. Here, listen to Senator Mark Warner on the Intelligence Committee, by the way, cut 30.
I think the president has started a war of choice. There was no imminent threat to the United States. So the decision to put our service members in harm's way and bases around the region in harm's way was entirely based upon the president's decision, not an imminent threat to America. I think it is incumbent that the president of the United States comes before the American people and the Congress and makes the case of why he has chosen to go to war at this point.
So do we really need to educate him, Michael? He knows better than this.
Yeah, look, I think there's a rule in the Democratic Party, man. You cannot say anything nice or good about Donald Trump, except for John Fetterman, perhaps. But look, I think, as you say, Brian, they know better. I mean, the word imminent threat, what does that mean? Tomorrow? Well, what about 6 months? Is that imminent enough? I mean, this race to the nuclear weapons and this use of the proxies around the world, this threat as late as last week to assassinate President Trump. again, on Iranian government television. So this idea that there's no imminent threat, you can stretch the word imminent almost, you know, to infinity. But I think the president saw that a threat was building, and you had a government that was eager and willing to go on offense against us, against our allies, against our troops. And so in the end, the president, from my perspective, decided he did not have a lot of choice. It was now, or it was 3 months from now, or 6 months from now. All of those would qualify as imminent threats.
So, Michael Goodwin, our guest. Michael, before I let you go, the mayor of New York City making headlines again for being thoroughly un-American. He writes on Saturday, "Today's military strikes on Iran carried out by the U.S. and Israel mark a catastrophic elevation in an illegal war of aggression, bombing cities, killing civilians, opening up a new theater of war. Americans do not want this." I mean, does this guy understand in his city that 90% of the protests were for President Trump, saluting him in New York City for taking out Ayatollah Khomeini? You know, Iranians, the reason they're here is because that brutal dictator took over and they were lucky enough to get out, maybe without their money, but they were lucky enough to escape.
That's a very good point, Brian, and it strikes me that is the generation that elected Mamdani does not understand Iran as well as those of us who were alive in 1979 and paying attention to what they did with the hostages, how they repressed their own people, how they killed American soldiers in Lebanon. I mean, the history of this regime is drenched in blood and repression. And so for the newest generation, Mamdani included, not to understand this just shows you the dangers of ignorance.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Michael Goodwin of the New York Post catches columns every week, more than once. Michael Goodwin, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Brian.
You got it. Meanwhile, at the bottom of the hour, Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery. Next, you. So you had a chance to see all this war coverage, including One Nation last night. I know you watched. What's on your mind? What do you think about? What do you worry about? Did you hear enough from those press conferences, from the president's social media posts? I did, but maybe you didn't, and that's okay. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show, 1-866-408-7669.
Real talk, real guests, real insight. Where curiosity meets conversation. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
This is not Iraq. This is not endless. I was there for both. Our generation knows better, and so does this president. He called the last 20 years of nation-building wars dumb, and he's right. This is the opposite. This operation is a clear, devastating, decisive mission. Destroy the missile threat, destroy the Navy, no nukes.
That is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. After his press conference about 90 minutes ago, updating us on day three of the war against Iran, and was in it with another formidable fighting force, Israel. And the results have been so far fantastic. But let's go to another expert, Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery, Senior Director of the Senior Director of Technology Innovation. In fact, he's coming up in about 15 minutes. He'll come on next. Innovation for Freedom on Defense of Democracies. I'm going to get his take on how it's going because, you know, we have an Admiral Cooper running things now in the Middle East who came in, talked about the battle plan, coordinated with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and it's been phenomenal. I know there's some friendly fire that took down three of our jets in Kuwait. That seems to be a Kuwaiti issue, but thankfully our pilots are okay. It's costing us a zillion dollars. But you got to think there's going to be some miscommunication and coordination. John, listening on the Fox News Radio app in California. Hey, John.
Good morning, Brian. I watched your show last night. I wanted to bring up a point that's important. You know, I was in the Navy in 1980, all the way to 23 years. I spent five tours over in off the coast of Iran. People have to remember, before 1980, we didn't spend the amount of money that we spent just to support the forces over there. We even stood up a Fifth Fleet in 1996, I believe. I was part of naval gunfire support off the coast of Beirut, because shooting at the proxies that killed our Marines. And in 1998, Operation Praying Mantis, they nearly sunk Samuel B. Roberts, killing people. And we were over there, Operation Praying Mantis, 1988. And the amount of damage this country has done. Thank God we have a president that's got the guts to take care of this after almost 50 years.
I want you to hear this. Here's Tim Kaine, Cut 32.
This is an illegal war, Shannon, because the representative cited the statute, but he neglected to mention the Constitution. And the Constitution can't be changed by statute. The Constitution says no declaration of war without Congress. The president has called this war against Iran.
So, by the way, the senator is just so disingenuous. That senator knows we have not had a declaration of war since World War II. And then you have a situation where you have 60 days, you brief Congress for 48 hours prior, and then you have 60 days in order to come back to Congress and why you want to extend it. So the War Powers Act is a joke, but Senator Tim Kaine is older than you. He knows the danger of Iran. He just doesn't like that Trump did it. You still there, John?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was listening to you. Yeah. Brian, I hear that guy talk every time with stuff like this, and I get sick. And the other one is a Mark Kelly. That guy is even worse than Tim Kaine. I don't understand these people that have a understanding of the military and foreign policy, why they can be other than politics. We all know why what the reason is. Anything Trump does, they are against.
So thanks so much for the call, John, and for your service and perspective. So a couple of things. I was on a call on Saturday with high-level Trump officials, and I just want to relate to you what I know. About the talks, one of the reasons why the talks were fruitless and there was never any promise is because they said, don't enrich. And they said, we're going to enrich. We might stop. He goes, well, we'll not enrich for 3 to 5 years. We said, there's no end. You're never going to be able to enrich. If you need nuclear energy, air quotes, you'll be able to enrich outside the country and bring it in. You're never going to be able to enrich. They said, we're going to need to do that. And then they said, well, we need to also immediately be able to still use nuclear energy for our medical research. There was no proof they ever used it for medical research. We had stuff there in the 60s. It's basically useless now. So that's a lie. When it came to ballistic missiles, we're not even considering getting rid of the ballistic missiles. It's 2,500 medium range, it's 1,500 long range. They were not considering dismantling. They did not promise to stop. And when it came to, they didn't even get to entertaining stopping to finance Hezbollah and Hamas, which would be almost impossible to enforce. The other thing that's important to bring up is they know how to make their own centrifuges. So therefore, if we're watching elements and material needed to make centrifuges, it wouldn't matter. Everything would be happening inside the country. And they already were starting to rebuild two of their nuclear sites. We said flat out, if you start rebuilding your nuclear sites, we're going to blow them up again. We still decided to talk. And that's what happened. It's a colossal waste of time to talk. But they don't read Trump. Don't you know you don't have a terror mastermind? You never recover from this because Soleimani's dead, got out in Iraq to create more havoc because our 2,500 troops there were getting bombed daily from militias in the region. As soon as he landed, we blew him up and his cohorts. They never recovered. They promised to kill Trump. They said, we're going to pay the price. So then they're going to go back at it. Trump's going to leave him in power because, I don't know, the price of eggs didn't come down fast enough. And all these people with high-level security clearances know what they're trying to do. They got 792 get into our country from our southern border. 1,500 were apprehended. How many gotaways? What are they doing? Are they looking for a better day, or are they looking to ruin our day? I have a whole page of criticism of this operation, which has been flawless. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't have a government ready to go that we choreographed and curated that we're going to plug in. That is foolish. And also, stop saying Iraq and Afghanistan were dumb wars. People fought there, lost limbs there. The objective of going to Afghanistan, everybody wanted to go into Afghanistan. Staying there the way we did it, you want to criticize the operations on in, and you'll bet Petraeus took over for McChrystal. And if you want to talk about that, not getting bin Laden right away, that's fine. But there's a reason to go in there. And Saddam Hussein was our enemy for 25 years. They kept thwarting inspectors. We found after the first Persian Gulf War more weapons of mass destruction in there. We thought he was lying again. In the end, he was deceiving, but he was still neglecting to trying to push us off in order to rebuild his stockpile and become the menace of the Middle East again. That's what people should understand. Here is a semi-clear-thinking Democrat, Josh Gottheimer, Cut 35.
The fact is, Iran has been, and we've all watched it in our lifetimes, the leading state sponsor of terror. They haven't backed off their nuclear program. They haven't backed off their terror program, where they're supporting proxies around the world that have attacked Americans, our bases, killed Americans and our service members, and, of course, our allies. And, you know, the reality is, it's not just killing others around the world. What they've done to their own people who've sought freedom and democracy, killing tens of thousands of their own people.
So we're going to try to kill as many of them as possible, higher ups, and then give these people of Iran a chance to run their own country and no longer be a menace to everybody. If Iran is not in the picture, Saudi Arabia falls in, Qatar falls in, all these other Gulf states fall in, they normalize relations with Israel, and they start growing their economies and improve the lives of their people. That's the only way we're going to pivot to other challenges like China. I'm going to talk to Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery about that and get your perspective right after. Brian Kilmeade Show.
The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
The Navy that they have is small but capable. And what we have been most concerned about is them putting mines in the Straits of Hormuz, which can shut down oil traffic. And that would be a major accomplishment for the Iranians. We have pretty much destroyed most of the ships that would be involved in that activity, to include much of their headquarters has been pulverized. So that is a major accomplishment as well.
So that is General Jack Keane, who's up to date on the very cutting edge of information. He also runs the Institute for the Study of War, any hotspot in the world. He's got the latest intel, whether it's Ukraine and now or Russia. And now you have this. Oil prices rose sharply as when trading started today. You know, keep in mind, people concerned about the Strait of Hormuz, where 15 million barrels of crude oil go through a day. They're worried about it being mined. There's threats from Iran. We'll see. Their leader, Ali Larijani, is continuing to say that the U.S. did a foolish thing, putting the whole region on the clock. Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery joins us now. Admiral, welcome back. How do you think this operation's going? You heard the briefing with Dan Kane. You heard the briefing with Secretary Hegseth. What do you think?
I'm impressed. Right? They started out with a 900 strike first day. That's aggressive. And that's what having 200 Israeli strike fighter planes alongside almost 200 American strike fighter planes and the Tomahawks launched from ships and the ATACMS launched from land and some Lucas independent drones. So that's a lot of strike. And it allowed you to do more than one very important thing at once. So the very, very important one, strike the leadership compound during the meeting, which is why we had a daytime strike, critical. Obviously, mission accomplished there in terms of getting the number one guy and 4 or 5 of the top 10 guys with him. Number two, suppression of enemy air defense, so everything else gets through. That happens almost simultaneously with the first strike. And then number three, beginning to pick off the ballistic missiles that are fielded, you know, out there ready to launch at U.S. forces in Iran. And clearly that's partially accomplished. And we knew that's a multi-week campaign. If you want to reduce their ability to fire ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones at the United States forces and Israel and our Arab allies, we are going to have to strike them for 2 to 4 to 6 weeks, depending how far back we want to rubbleize them.
Yeah, we got to stop. We got to stop the launchers, right? And do you think it's an accurate number? Short range missiles, 2,500, 1,500 long range. Do you buy that number? We've taken out 200 launchers so far, and they've launched, they think, starting today, about 300 of those rockets.
So there's launchers and there's stowage units. So I think we probably hit more missiles total than the number you'll hear, launchers plus those fired. But I would go with a number like 40% attrition, either attrition or launched so far. So a lot more to go. But I'd go beyond that. I should have mentioned, Brian, I would really, what the Israelis wanted to do after day 12, in which we kind of cut them off from, I would deeply hit the missile production and the secondary and tertiary supply chain facilities. I mean, there needs to be, that's why this is 2 to 4 to 6 weeks. 2 weeks.
It will unfreeze you, hopefully. Yeah, we might have lost. We're just going to get him right back up. Got you back. Okay, we do.
Yeah, sorry. 2 to 4 to 6 weeks is what I would say. 2 weeks to get the stuff they got, and 4 to 6 weeks the stuff they wish they had. You know, the future stuff, and we really got to get the drones as well.
So a lot of them are in the ground, and that's what the B-2s did. Correct? They want those great distances. This time, instead of blowing up nuclear facilities, they're trying to blow up the in-ground facilities. Correct?
Correct, and they can do that. Every night, you know, just set the clock to it. Different pilots, different planes, launch and go. We can move beyond B-52s if we want to as well and use B-1s and B-52s if desired. I'd keep it with B-2s for a while just because you don't want to lose a plane with a lot of strategic value. But we can do this every night.
So they're hitting the Gulf states. They've gone after Qatar a lot, dozens of times. They are enraged. Saudi Arabia got hit this morning, at least the morning my time. And then the UAE got hit immediately, and Kuwait's been on the target list. So do you believe they're not hitting our bases necessarily? They seem to be hitting civilian targets, hotels, and other things. Do you think that's intentional, or is that the lack of sophistication among their weaponry? What are they doing?
So I'd add a third one in, debris from an actual intercept that then hits them. I did see one of those. There's this good video of a spiraling ballistic missile that hits a port facility that was, big, huge fire from the fuel.
I think Bahrain, right?
Yeah. And Bahrain. And so, but they are hitting some of those are clear drones into hotel building, 13th floor. I'm sorry. That's intentional. The second one is just we're trying to get a ballistic missile near a military facility and your hotel happened to be nearby. And the third is, but you're accountable for that. And the third is debris and you're accountable for that. So if I was an Arab state, I'd be mad. And I'll bet the UAE, United Arab Emirates, is this close, Brian, to conducting offensive operations. They despise the Iranians more than any other state. I really think they're this close to joining us.
Admiral, it's interesting. They were having a war of words with Saudi Arabia, but they put that, as soon as they were hit, Saudi Arabia said, I got your back. So the Gulf states have something in common. Admiral, I can't believe, being on the air in 9/11 when those planes hit, I cannot believe we're in a situation where those states, whether it's Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Egypt to a degree, and Jordan, I suppose, been there, and perhaps Syria eventually. They're talking about economies. They're talking about they're talking about trade deals. And they're talking about, we're not talking about terror in their midst. Don't you feel as though the Middle East is making progress and the upside to Iran no longer being this bastion of terror could help accelerate that?
100%. I mean, Iran is it was like the scorpion, riding around on the frog's back. They're really ready to ruin it for everyone. And they still might, by the way, with mining the Straits of Hormuz. But this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the Abraham Accords to grow and include Saudi Arabia. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there is opportunity here. Clearly, our support for this differentiates us from China and Russia, who armed Iran, right? And that was the other option. So I think this really brings together Israel, the Arab states, and the United States in a coalition, committed to removing the Iranian autocracy.
Admiral, how do we get the enriched uranium? How do we get the uranium out of there? I know we buried it on the strike on Midnight Hammer, but how do we go about that?
This is going to have to be my that will have to be after there's a change in how the either regime change or a change in how the regime approaches nuclear weapons because of where it is. I mean, you're going to need some consent to get to secure, hold, and remove. That is not something you send a couple of soft guys in to scoop up in a bag and pull out. You know, that's going to have to be done by professionals.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. So I'm not sure that Israel is that upset that Hezbollah got involved. Now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, really? You want to start this now? And I believe that the IRGC, last week I read the IRGC is so frustrated with Hezbollah's slow pace in rebuilding, they basically took it over and started reorganizing. And maybe the word came out from who was left in Iran, start distracting the Israelis, send some rockets in. So they sent about five in, including some drones last night. And now the Israelis are hitting back hard. So you agree with me on that?
I do. I hope this is just like a 2-day, like a quickie, because look, Israel in Israel's mind, hey, they could do this and go back to Iran. The problem is they don't know Donald Trump's pull, when he pulls the cord on this. So they want to do as much damage as they can in Iran while they can. They can always come back and hit Lebanon whenever they want. I think they did something quickly to say stop. And then in the meantime, go ahead. And they do have some airplanes that are probably better configured, F-16s and such, better configured for handling Lebanon than Iran, range-wise and everything. So, but it does limit them. So, do a little bit of spanking of Hezbollah, put a marker down, I'm coming back, continue to hammer Iran, and then come back to Lebanon when President Trump calls ceasefire.
Admiral, how does this end? What is a successful ending in Admiral Mark Montgomery's mind?
Well, in my mind, it is that there is activism starts up again. The people are in the streets, protests. The problem is when we did this in 2011 in Libya or 1919 in Kosovo, air only campaigns, you had to have an armed,
international peacekeeping force on the ground. I remember that.
The former army. Yeah. The KLA in Kosovo, the former army guys in Libya. We don't have that right now. So this is going to be tough. And I am worried about the Straits of Hormuz. General Keane's right. We sunk their Navy. But the way they dump mines can be like a couple bog hammers and Brian and Mark go out and push them out the back. I mean, these guys are not doing Geneva Convention mining, right? And then there's this group in London called the Joint War Council that says, okay, it's listed. No one can go through there. And suddenly Straits of Hormuz. Again, that's the scorpion biting the frog because the Iranians need the straits open as well. But they might do that.
All right. Exciting times, Admiral. We know this enemy has been going after us for decades. I know that's been part of your portfolio forever in your profession, your rear admiral, your admiral life. And now we're addressing it directly. And I think the president is tackling all of the nation's biggest challenges head on. And our Secretary of War has done a fantastic job along with the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But I guess there could be hard days ahead. We could be talking in a week and there could be some difficult days. But the objective is needed. And I think anyone who puts some time in and puts politics aside has to see it that way. I just want to see your thoughts on this.
100%. And I really want Kane and Hegseth sounded great this morning, but they said the truth. This needs to be 2 to 4 to 6 weeks, not pull the plug. Too soon. I know the president likes to find, he doesn't want guys dying in forever wars. I get that. But this is one of the things that will require 2 to 4 to 6 weeks, depending how far back you want to push them. And if you're going to get the kids out in the streets again, I think it needs to be more the 4 to 6 week version. But we could really, really end the missile, drone, and nuclear threat from Iran with a longer campaign. And I hope we have the structure to do it. General Kane sounded that way, Brian.
And for those people who think Israel's behind it, read the Washington Post. It was Saudi Arabia and UAE pushing for us to do this. Trump's got their trust going in, and now he really has it today. Admiral Mark Montgomery, thanks so much.
See ya. Thanks for having me.
You got it. And thanks for streaming, too. 1-866-408-7669. Get aboard. I got your emails, too. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Brian Kilmeade. The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Nothing has changed in our military capability. This is exactly what happened last time. You remember in June when Israel attacked us, they killed some of our top commanders. at the beginning of the strikes, but they were replaced very soon. And in less than 12 hours, we were able to start retaliation. This time, it was even, you know, faster. In less than 2 hours, we started to retaliate by attacking, you know, Israeli targets and you know, American bases in the region. And we have continued to do so. So our military is in place.
So by the way, this guy is just spinning his head off. That's the Iranian foreign minister interviewed on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Really? Your capability has not been hurt? They've hit over 900 sites in the first 2 hours, including wiping out 49 of your higher-ups. Now, look, I don't expect you to say, we're losing. But you're losing a lot. And this is one of the most effective strikes on any country you will ever see. But go ahead. You know, it's interesting. Someone brought up right after, I wonder if Marco Rubio is going to be interviewed on Iranian television. It is kind of interesting. We got war with somebody. But, hey, let's get the foreign minister on to find out what Iran thinks. Danny, you're over in Israel. Hey, Danny, what's on your mind?
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
We are well. You know, Brian, we unfortunately, we are used to that. We have quite a broad experience with these situations. Our military are doing well. We have intercepted more than 95% of their missiles. Unfortunately, we have an incident yesterday in Bechemesh where 9 people were killed. But all in all, I think that you are doing excellent.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, Danny. How do you feel about the Northern Front opening up? Do you think Hezbollah is there for the long haul? Do you want to finish them off now? How's that resonating inside Israel?
Yeah. I think they did a stupid decision, because this time we are going to go, you know, full victory against them. They are going to be eradicated completely. They shouldn't have. Now, they are damaging, first of all, the Lebanese, you know, because this time in Beirut we are going to strike, and the Lebanese infrastructure is going to be hurt. So... But, you know, there's
and what
no
Danny, what Danny's trying to say is we want to get the Lebanese to run Lebanon again. And Hezbollah has basically just taken over that country, but they have thousands of missiles. The question is, can we get to them before they use them? Danny, thanks so much for the call. Speaking of Israel, Naftali Bennett was on the Sunday briefing yesterday. He was the prime minister, might be again. Cut 20.
I think the big lesson is do not mess with President Trump. I think President Trump has shown tremendous resolve and courage, and his words matter. And when people take his words lightly, they pay an immense price. And I think very few people imagined that President Trump would lead this sort of thing. And I think the whole region afterwards will be thankful, and the world will be thankful, because already now the world is a safer place compared to yesterday. And that's because we acted now.
And about 9 people have died already in Israel. They're getting rocketed, and he's still saying we're grateful, because they're dealing with a problem that existed. They got up every day and looked right, and there was Hezbollah. Looked left, and there was Hamas. Looked across the border, the Golan Heights, there was Syria with an angry leader in Assad, and also a tenant called Iran, lobbing missiles. So they were attacking on all 3 sides, and then in comes the Houthi rebels with the long distance shot. So. Now we're addressing all of them. So far, the Houthi said we're in, but I have not seen them do anything yet. Maybe they're keeping their powder dry. We'll have to see. So I was also struck by how many Democrats are critical of this, who are obviously running for president. Like, listen to Ro Khanna. This guy, what an embarrassment he is. Cut 34.
Let me say this. Khamenei was a brutal dictator, but Americans are not safer today. Look, Senator Graham cheerled us into the Iraq war. He cheerled us into the effort with Libya. And Trump ran against him in 2016. He said regime change wars are absolute failures. And that has escaped Donald Trump. And now you have a situation in Iran where the IRGC is still in power. The Assembly of Experts are going to pick the new leader. By the way, they were picking the new leader before we killed Ayatollah. The Ayatollah was 86. And the question is the country going to descend in civil war? Are billions of our dollars going to be spent there? Are American troops going to be at risk?
So you talk about a guy that's playing pure politics. 1-2 days in, they're still in power. So they killed 49 people. That's not good enough for you. Now they killed the new guy, the head of the IRGC. They killed him the next day. So they're going to get Larchandani. They're going to get all these guys. And little by little, they're going to get so down. Sooner or later, they're going to have a government that's going to be allow their people to have a better day. They can pick their own government. But wipe out that top two layers and let them go. You know, this guy who cares about human rights and cares about trans rights. Do you care about 45 million women who can't go to school past the age of 11 and get married at the age of 13? If you don't wear a hijab, they put you in prison for life.
From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
We have a lot going on today. We know 48 hours ago, the war in Iran started. We took preemptive action for one good reason. They had intelligence that Iran was going to hit the Gulf states prior to us hitting them. And also, we found out that there were dozens of Iranian officials getting together in the morning, about 8 a.m. local time, and Ayatollah was conducting that meeting. So we provided the intelligence to the Israelis, and they took out everybody. 40 dead instantly, 49 since, probably more adding up. But we go for military sites. We go for military and political leaders. We don't go for civilians, where so far we've seen nothing but the opposite from the Iranians, who seem to be aiming at apartment buildings and galvanizing the Gulf states into their own mini NATO. This hour, I'm going to be joined by the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, Zvika Klein. He's going to be with us. But right now, Congressman Jim Jordan joined us. A lot on the agenda, Congressman Jordan. Number one, hey, can we get the DHS funded again?
Well, let's hope so. And particularly in light of this, effort that's now underway and been underway for, 48 hours. And God bless the armed services who are conducting this operation. God bless President Trump, who makes decisions that are in the best interest of the country, the best interest of our allies, the best interest of the world, making sure that Iran doesn't restart this nuclear capability program, making sure that Iran doesn't have the missile sites and the ability to launch things and hurt people like they're attempting to do now and doing some now, but stopping them in the future. It's the right thing. It's good for us, good for Israel, good for the world. And so God bless everyone for what they're doing.
So you're going to get a briefing on Wednesday or Tuesday?
I think tomorrow night. It's supposed to be, 5 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll get a briefing. So that'll be interesting. We'll see exactly what's said. But one of the things we heard from Secretary Rubio was that they were building these missiles so much faster than we thought, like 100 compared to what we were doing, which is a much smaller number, or what Israel was able to do, I should say. And so this is the other reason we were focused on the missile launch ability, the going after those locations, and of course, stymieing them from getting to their nuclear weapon capability that they were continuing to pursue in spite of what happened with Operation Midnight Hammer last year.
So I want you to hear some people who are blatantly political and should be ashamed of themselves, in my view. Not because I disagree with them, but the way they're doing it. Listen to this, Chris Murphy, Cut 29.
Nobody in this country is asking for war with Iran. Just like months ago, no one in this country was asking for war with Venezuela. This president is intentionally tanking our economy. He's the most corrupt president in the history of our nation. And Americans want him to focus on the crises here at home. Instead, he is busy getting us involved in quagmires overseas that already are becoming deadly to American soldiers. This is a disaster. It is illegal. And the president is obligated under the Constitution to come to Congress and ask for an authorization of military force.
If that was a Republican, they would have been interrupted 5 times by Margaret Brennan. But, this is unbelievable. So what are your thoughts on that ridiculous statement? He's trying to tank our economy?
Yeah, no, like everything the Democrats now, every proposition that they take, everything they say is just crazy. I mean, think about it. The idea that we took out a guy who wasn't even in Venezuela, Maduro, wasn't recognized as the head of state by our government, who was the head of a narco-terrorist organization, who had done all kinds of terrible things here in our hemisphere, and somehow taking him out is a bad thing. Stopping the Iran, who's the largest state sponsor of terrorism, for almost 50 years, they've been at this crazy, crazy stuff that they've been doing, and somehow that's a bad thing. Making sure they don't get nuclear capability, and then to the economy. Are you kidding me? The market's at record levels. People are now seeing what the big, beautiful bill did for their tax burden. When they're filing their taxes, they're saying, oh, I'm getting this kind of refund. Oh, my taxes have went down. Like, nothing that Senator Murphy said made any sense to me, and yet that's today's left. Today's left will always take the most crazy position, and that's just what they're for. So I think this election, frankly, coming up, not that we're talking about election, but I think it's going to be crazy versus common sense, like the president says. And if you're on the side of common sense, you're going to be supporting Republicans in this election.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to see what's going to happen, and you're going to get briefed on it. I'm just struck by how now they're talking about the War Powers Act. What could you tell the War Powers Act? The way I understand it, you have 48 hours to brief Congress, and you have 60 days, at which time you got to come back and say you want another 60. And so far, if you don't have a war declaration, line up. There's a huge line for people that didn't get a declaration of war since World War II. Is the president in violation of the War Powers Act?
No, because he did communicate within 48 hours to the key individuals in the United States Congress, as he's required to under the War Powers Resolution. And as you said, Brian, we're in the 60-day time window right now. So we will see how this thing unfolds. Let's hope this thing happens quickly. But nothing the president did is inconsistent with the law, is inconsistent with his powers under Article 2 of the Constitution, and frankly is inconsistent with what previous presidents of both parties have done. So, again, the idea that the left is going to attack him for that makes absolutely no sense. They didn't do it for when Obama took similar type of actions. Think about what happened with Obama and Secretary Clinton back with the whole Benghazi thing and what they did in Libya. They took action there. It was after that action where they did some things I think were problematic. But nothing the president has done is in any way inconsistent with his Article 2 authority under the Constitution and the War Powers Resolution.
So, by the way, we have Iran had like shot off about 70 missiles today. So they're not down yet, but when they launch them, we go get their launchers. So Jay Johnson, former Homeland Security Secretary, was asked about the War Powers Act. He's a lawyer. Cut 49.
What we did was an act of war, plain and simple. I'm quite sure that Lindsey Graham and others would say if a foreign government launched airstrikes on our nation's capital and took up the U.S. government leadership, we'd say it was an act of war, without a doubt. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution assigns to Congress the authority to declare war. That basically is now a nullity. The War Powers Resolution is close to being a nullity. What's happened over multiple administrations is the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel, which is like the Supreme Court of the executive branch, has issued opinions that say the president can deploy the U.S. military into hostilities anytime it's in an important national interest, so long as it doesn't rise to a war in nature, scope, and duration. Mm. That is virtually a limitless test. No court, no lawyer is going to second guess what the president says is in the national interest.
I mean, much like Libya, when Obama took action, we're still waiting for him to tell us about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And remember, the president of the United States is the commander in chief, and his responsibility is also to make sure that Americans are safe, that he takes action when there's an imminent threat. The idea that this regime, the largest state sponsor of terrorism, was now again pursuing getting nuclear weapon capability is frightening. And what the president is doing is focusing on stopping that, and what they were doing with their missiles that were going to harm us, our service members in bases in the Gulf area, and our allies like the state of Israel. So that's why he took the action. And I think, again, most Americans understand this was the right thing to do.
So Jim Jordan, our guest and chairman, I got to ask you about some people on the right that are upset by this. The podcast world, they're saying president promises no foreign wars. What do you say to that? A lot of them are your friends.
Yeah, I mean, I come back to, I think this president makes decisions that are in the best interest of our country. And he looks at the evidence. He gets to see things as commander in chief that the regular, that we all don't get to see. And he's making those decisions. I think for the left to criticize him, as they did with Maduro, when he took out a bad guy, head of a narco terrorist organization, doing all kinds of crazy things here in our hemisphere. I think people with common sense say, we understand why the commander in chief, why President Trump has taken the actions that he has.
Sometimes you need war to get peace. Haven't we seen that? Doesn't history say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the position of our dear friend and ally, the State of Israel. They know sometimes you have to take action to stop what's coming, what you know is coming from, and everyone in that area. And frankly, I think most people around the world understand how bad Iran is, how bad they've conducted themselves over the last 47 years. And I think they understand why the Commander in Chief of the United States, with the greatest military in history, has taken this action.
But I'm going to ask you, how do you, in 4 weeks from now, when you come do our show, what's going to be the situation in Iran?
I hope that things are done there. We've got everything under control. You hope the Iranian people understand that, you know, this is an opportunity to get rid of this oppressive terrorist regime that's been running their nation for, as I said, 47 years. So we hope that's the case. But, you know, these kind of things you never know. But I do trust the people who are in charge and President Trump, Secretary Rubio, and the team that he's put together there. I do trust these individuals.
All right. Jim Jordan, thanks so much. Truly
you
appreciate
bet.
It.
Thanks,
it's
going to
be a busy day. Congressman Jim Jordan. So when we come back, we'll take your calls, 1-866-408-7669, or you can write me at briankilmeade.com. Don't move. Civica Klein, bottom of the hour. We'll get the latest from the editor of the Jerusalem Post, live from Israel.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah, I think what you would hear from the White House is the president said he was always going to put national interest first. This is in our national interest to keep to defang the world's greatest state sponsor of terror, and that's what he's doing. He doesn't. I mean, I think it's hard for us to imagine a president who spent 3 minutes of his hour and 47 minutes State of the Union, who within 12 hours of the strikes was talking about off ramps, sending boots on the ground in Iran. So I think they will say this is going to be a limited engagement. I think the real question is though, like, can you do it?
So that is Steve Hayes, a really good guy, used to be at Fox, and now he's got his own thing going at Dispatch. But he said, well, of course, anybody who spends any time in the Middle East or studying this stuff or understanding and talking to any senator on the Foreign Relations Committee or any Secretary of State or anybody in the State Department knows what a problem Iran is. General McKenzie, obviously, he was one of the ones who authored the terrible withdrawal from Afghanistan. Really, Joe Biden's solely responsible for that. He writes this. For decades, Iran managed to bluff American presidents. It deterred attacks from a superpower and carried out proxy campaigns against its neighbors in Israel. Our strikes on Iran on Saturday are evidence that this long-term strategy of negotiating in bad faith is bankrupt. The military campaign is underway as the direct result of an Iranian leader's foot-dragging, obfuscation, and delay tactics. This time, they misjudged the president. Pretty impressive. Brett Stevens, a constant critic of the president, conservative. They have rid the world of an odious tyrant and of several layers of his equal odious deputies. It's odd that the same people who fault Trump for divorcing U.S. policy, for divorcing U.S. foreign policy from his democratic values, now fault him for going to war for the sake of advancing democratic values. Still, millions of ordinary people around the world, not just in Tel Aviv and Tehran, but also perhaps in Taipei and Tallinn, will notice that the United States, for its many warts, still stands for freedom. Mike Collum has never been shy about denouncing either Trump or Netanyahu. It won't be shy to criticize them in the future. But on Saturday, this much maligned duo did the free world a courageous and historic favor. It will be remembered long after the petulant criticism dies down. That's pretty impressive. That's people saying, okay, whatever I think of Trump, I like this. Whatever I think of Trump, like Venezuela, whatever you think of Trump, he could do something that Kennedy didn't do when it comes to Cuba. Debbie, listening in WABC in New York. Hey, Debbie.
Brian, I don't understand how ABC, George Stephanopoulos, was allowed to have this Iranian ambassador on and bash the United States and bash Donald Trump and no interruptions, just let him go on. It had to be for 15 minutes. I think that's anti-American. I think that ABC needs to be called out for this. He just went on and on and on. It had to be at least 15 minutes. Why is that allowed? I don't understand.
I mean, it's free press. You should get all sides, but you can make your judgment on whether you think it's in the best interest of the country. So I don't mind. I know. I know people have said that, and I'm in the minority. I like to hear the other side. I always. And I wish he would have maybe jumped in, but he did jump in and say, you know, you've killed 30,000 people. And then he goes, like I told you before, we killed 3,000, and then the others were rioters put to this by the Israelis and Americans, you know, where they were insurgents, which we all know is BS. But hear what they have to say and understand this guy's Baghdad Bob. Now, Ali Larijani is the one to look out for. We got to kill this guy. That's the guy that went to the Gulf states and warned them not to get involved. He'll be hit. He was going to do the preemptive hit. He got stopped about that. Sadly, he wasn't involved in the big hit that killed the leaders. But now he says, I won't talk to the U.S. and they're going to lose. We'll see about that. We're not going to lose. I'll tell you that. It depends on how many layers deep we got to go before the people rise up and take their country back. I don't really care if it breaks up and they want to break into sex. Doesn't bother me at all. But President Trump, I thought, nailed it in two speeches. And he also did some individual calls. I talked to him yesterday for 15 minutes. And he did calls with Jonathan Carl, I know, with Brett Baer, I know, with Mark Thiessen, I know. And he just told people what's going on. But he didn't want to get involved in a press conference that's going to go wildly off to other topics. This is the only topic that matters. So we're going pretty deep. In terms of strategy, David Petraeus on with Will Cain last night, cut six.
The focus clearly is on the retaliatory capabilities that are still retained by Iran. They have still a substantial number of long-range missiles and launchers. Those are the ones that can reach Israel. That's a particular focus, needless to say. But we've also seen shorter-range missiles and even drones, like the drones that they provided to Ukraine that have been such a feature of that war. And in fact, reportedly, it was one of those drones that killed our three soldiers at Camp Arifjan in Kuwait so tragically and wounded seriously a number of others. So that is the focus.
That is the focus. And, he knows because he was doing the surge and was winning back Iraq. And he had to push back on the Iranian militias. They killed 600 Americans and wounded over 1,000. These are EFPs. There was basically IEDs on steroids, designed to kill. And rapidly and horrifically and on grand scale. Think about that. We never did anything. We never hit inside Iran. We don't want to start. Don't expand the war, right? So what is Iran doing? Iran hits the UAE. They say Qatar's been hit 100 times. Really? 100 times? Qatar hasn't done enough to let you know that they're loyal to you and not to Israel. They already house Hamas for free and let them live in the Four Seasons in a life of luxury. And now you're hitting Qatar. And now you're hitting, you didn't hit Egypt, but now you're hitting Crete, okay? And slamming Kuwait. So you're trying to unite the Gulf states? So Major John Spencer just talked about how magnificent this has been so far. He's a war college the chairman of the War College at West Point, Cup 15.
It's literally a change in the character of war, a historic operation that has no parallel outside of Israel's 12-day war, the opening moments. I don't think people are grasping. I was on the ground in the invasion of Iraq. It took us 9 months to get Saddam and many of that deck of cards. It took us 9 years to get bin Laden, and some of those al-Qaeda leaders are still around, not many of them. But to eliminate the Ayatollah, the Minister of Defense, 40 senior leaders in the first 24 hours should put the fear of God in any enemy of the United States or Israel.
By the way, we're just getting a report now that Qatar shot down two Soviet-era Iranian bombers. How desperate are they? That's the same thing. They got our old fighter jets, too. I think it's an F-5. And now they have Soviet-era Iranian bombers going into Qatar. So they're trying to divide the Gulf states. Do you know they're galvanizing the Gulf states? Galvanizing them. Everybody hates Iran, except maybe Turkey and Pakistan. Good luck with that. Zvika Klein next. They're under attack. but they can handle it. They've expected it because they know the you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You really can. He is the editor of the Jerusalem Post. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
We have no anti-war sentiment in this country. We understand that we have to eliminate the threat of these missiles, which is in many ways worse than the nuclear threat, because 3,000 of these missiles in the hands of Iran is an existential threat to this country. We understand it. Hezbollah opened fire tonight, Brian. I think the Iranians are outsourcing the battle against Israel to Hezbollah. This is the branch, basically, of Iran in Lebanon. And Israel is firing back as I'm talking to you now.
That is Michael Oren talking to me last night on One Nation at 10, former Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Not rattled at all. He's also a veteran, like almost everyone in Israel at some point serves. Joining us now is Zvika Klein, editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, to tell us what's happening. The thing that's changed for me, Zvika, when I got up today, was it looks like Hezbollah decides to get involved and violated the tenuous ceasefire. What has changed since they've been involved since? How many times? I heard there was five drone strikes or rocket strikes?
Yeah. Hi, Brian. Good morning. So since Hezbollah decided to join in this war, and there were many that thought that they would not go in because Hezbollah is in a very low point after all of the Israeli strikes in the past 2.5 years, surprisingly, they actually joined in on these attacks. And the defense minister said that that Israel will eliminate its chief as well as all of its other proxies and institutions. And Israel's now fighting a number of fronts simultaneously.
So, for Israel, it must be a good feeling knowing someone's fighting by your side instead of wondering if they're going to cut off arms.
It's wow. I mean, Israelis are, Saturday morning, we're just like, no one's happy about a war. But, going in with the American military is something that never happened. There was a specific very targeted attack on the 12-day war last June. But it's an incredible feeling for Israelis. And it's a very big contrast, unfortunately, to the previous government.
So right now, do you think that the idea, the IGRC was the one pushing Hezbollah to act to try to change, to get them distracted from hitting Iranian targets?
100%. Listen, I mean, the IDF just exposed a few days ago that during 2025, Iran, the IRGC, funded Hezbollah with $700 million while people on their streets were hungry for food. So we all know that this is the, it used to be kind of, we'd say, the octopus, right? Everyone knows this now. Everyone understands that this is the situation.
So if you look at where the threats have been, are you surprised the Gulf states have been targeted? Qatar says they've been hit 100 times.
Yeah, I mean, the Gulf countries, I think, is some of the Gulf countries, by the way, are not surprised, like the UAE, who have been planning for a situation like this for many, many years and signing the Abraham Accords and cooperating with Israel on so many security elements. I would say that Qatar is rightfully surprised to be also targeted, not kind of like what we saw in June, where it looked like a staged act of, oh, we're going to attack an American base, but no one was there. Now it's the real deal.
So about 9 Israelis have been killed. Is that number still accurate, Zvika?
Yeah. So yesterday, nine civilians were killed. In a building, in a synagogue, actually, during a prayer service.
So, can you compare this to the 12-day war in terms of the cadence of the rocket attacks? Do you have a sense of it?
Yeah. So in the 12-day war, there was a lot more attacks with huge amounts. Sometimes double digits of missiles being sent at the same time, as well as dozens of drones. Now we're talking about one digit, usually, maybe a bit more than, 10, but not even, attacking Israel. So it's a lot easier to fight them and to shoot them down on the way.
So right now there's 49 commanders are killed. What number do you have on that? That's what the U.S. is going with. 40 were killed right away, thanks to you guys and CIA's intelligence. What phase are we in now, according to your sources? And what is the targets today? Here we are in day 3.
So I actually just got off a briefing with the IDF to go on to your show.
Thank you.
So I don't have all of that information, but we're definitely stepping up to the second phase. I will tell you that yesterday, the amount of ammunition and bombs that Israel used within less than 48 hours is more than what it used 12 days in June. So the amount of targets that are achieved is very high. There are reports today about Khamenei, the Supreme Leader's wife, who was also critically injured. And as President Trump said,
she's dead.
Oh, so she already passed away.
Yeah.
And then President Trump says, the most, I don't know if the word exciting is the right word, but the most dramatic operations are still yet to have been played. I will also say that, hearing the speech of Pete Hegseth earlier today, I was inspired both as an Israeli and American citizen. I feel like, the things he said really kind of gave legitimacy to this attack and explained to the American public as well as to the world why America is doing this.
Yeah, in fact, here's a little of Pete Hegseth and some of his remarks today. We also have him, and we also have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he also spoke right after, and he got a little bit more technical. But this is what he talked about, which led to this and how he executed it. First, here's Pete, cut 3.
2 days ago, under the direction and direct orders of President Donald J. Trump, the Department of War launched Operation Epic Fury, the most lethal, most complex, and most precise aerial operation in history. For 47 long years, the expansionist and Islamist regime in Tehran has waged a savage, one-sided war against America. They didn't always declare it openly, except for their constant chance of death to America. They did it through the blood of our people. Car bombs in Beirut, rocket attacks on our ships, murders at our embassies, roadside bombs in Iraq and Afghanistan, funded and armed by Iranian Quds Force and IRGC killers. My generation of veterans carried the names of brothers who never came home. Brothers butchered by Iranian-backed roadside bombs and well-armed militias, thousands of our own. We didn't start this war, but under President Trump, we are finishing it.
Had a chance to talk to President Trump yesterday, and he said, I go, what, they're trying to reach out to you? He says, yes, they're trying to reach out to me. I go, and what circumstances? He goes, I don't know any of these guys. Tell you the truth, we killed most of the people I thought we'd be dealing with. So I think we're just going to go for victory. What does victory look like, Zvika Klein?
I think victory looks like toppling this regime. That's, it's in the mission statement pretty much of both the IDF and the U.S. This regime is toxic not only for Israel and threatening Israel's existence, but for the West, for the United States as well.
Yeah, toppling it, they're already an inch deep, but they said that each official was told to name 4 successors, almost anticipating that they're going to be killed. Quick question. The Hezbollah new leader is Nassim Qassam.
Qassam.
And there's some reports that he's killed. Have you heard that? And have you confirmed that?
I have seen the reports about him being eliminated. I haven't seen yet the proof or the verified information about that. But I think it will be very difficult to, you can't just like Hamas or any other extreme ideology, we won't be able to take it out of population. But at the same time, killing these leadership, And a smart friend of mine from the UAE told me, he says, you know, the U.S. and Israel are able to eliminate every single leader they want in Iran. Those that are still alive are alive for a certain purpose. So, you know, I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating. And you could interpret that in so many different directions. But I think it's accurate because the amount of intelligence and information that both the U.S., the CIA, and Mossad have for so many years there, I think it was all waiting for what's happening right now.
But Ali Larijani, he is an evil character. This guy is a butcher, and he seems to be in charge.
100%. Listen, just like, you know, Pete Hegseth said today to one of the reporters, I don't have a clearance. I don't know everything. I don't know exactly, you know, all the intelligence there. But for some reason, they want him there alive at the moment. But when they don't, he just won't be there.
I hope that's the case. But we got to get to the point, Zvika, where the people of Iran, who don't have any guns and weapons, can protest freely, have their voices heard. And I just don't know when that is, knowing that these guys have now nothing to lose, and they've already proven that they have no heart and compassion by killing 30,000 plus who were just speaking up against the regime. So what do you do with a desperate...
But up until this attack, right, yeah. if this attack wouldn't take place, there would be more and more killings. Right. So this attack already showed, you know, and when we saw videos being viral all over the internet of people singing and happy for the killing of Khamenei, you see people in the Iranian diaspora around the world who are suddenly, you know, supportive of Israel. It's something we're not used to. So I think that step is already taken. And the next step, like I definitely believe President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, I think there's a lot of tricks up their sleeves. And I feel like the next few days, mm-hmm. from a military standpoint and from a international relations standpoint, is history in the making.
I think so, too. Also, I think there's a lot to be learned from Bush 41. And when he was in the Persian Gulf War, came with 500,000 troops. Major victory over the Iraqi forces, but left Saddam Hussein in power, but more importantly, left him with a lot of his weapons. And he was able to suppress the Shia who came up, creating bitterness with the West because the Shia were told to rise up. And then Saddam Hussein would sit there and push away sanctions for the next 10 years until 2003. So there's a danger in taking out a leader, and there's a danger in leaving that leader because he'll just gain power again, and a surviving a lot of times is viewed as a victory. Correct, Zvika?
Yeah, I think that's definitely right. And I can tell you that I'm not, you know, worried about the fact of, okay, there's a void. Who's going to fill that void there, right? Because it could be another terrible person, or it could be someone who's amazing, but the people just won't support. So hopefully behind the scenes, and I assume, you know, part of taking time, from what I understand from my sources, with this operation was in order to create not only a situation where they could kill those needed, but also to allow leadership that will rise and be able to take this over, because 100 million people, whatever, you can't just, you know, topple a regime without any sort of, you know, hierarchy or officials running a state.
No doubt about it. Zvika Klein, our guest with Jerusalem Post. Now we have at least a two-front war going on because Hezbollah has decided to get involved from Lebanon. So the Houthis have declared war right away. They said, okay, we're going to get involved, but they haven't. Have they? Any signs?
I don't know. It's unclear exactly to why. But, you know, I don't think they expected what happened in the region now. To be, you know, in a sense, there's a bit of a paradigm shift when it comes to the fact that suddenly you know, Israel being the demon suddenly is actually, you know, partnering with the U.S. and actually doing something good for humanity. By the way, you know, Prime Minister Keir Starmer spoke and said, you know, reiterated yesterday that he won't let the Americans use the joint military base. And today, a base of theirs was attacked by an Iranian drone sent from Lebanon or whatever. And suddenly, you know, I haven't seen a statement today, but you know, them and France are suddenly
Germany too.
A bit less against this attack.
Zvika, it's pretty amazing from the American perspective. They're usually the longest time to get our allies, and France is usually a holdout, and UK could always be counted on. But not with this prime minister, and not with this rusting military. They've allowed their military just to wither. Their fighters are great, but they've let it wither. And you know what? President Trump didn't give it a second thought. He's like, I'm going in. Israel knows what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I get along with the prime minister. Our militaries get along. We're going to be fine. And in my opinion, I think it freaked them out a little. Because they're used to being wined and dined and asked to come along. Final thought?
I'll just say, you know, the mainstream media played this game. They keep on playing this game that there's a rift between the prime minister and the president. And it keeps on proving not to be. So maybe they should just, you know, listen and let them do the job. Because, you know, listen, you could be left wing, right wing. They're doing the right thing at the moment. And I think, you know, not 99% of Israelis agree. And hopefully more Americans will agree too.
Zvika Klein, I know you'll write about in the Jerusalem Post. Thanks so much. Stay safe.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, back to wrap things up. I see your calls up there. I'll get to them next. And by the way, Donald Trump is speaking. We'll bring back some of that sound. He's at a ceremony for for Bronze Star, Medal of Honor. But he's first speaking about the war. Don't move.
Real talk, real guests, real insight. Where curiosity meets conversation. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade. Sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen, made for your brain.
The regime already had missiles capable of hitting Europe and our bases, both local and overseas, and would soon have had missiles capable of reaching our beautiful America. The purpose of this fast-growing missile program was to shield their nuclear weapon development and make it extraordinarily difficult for anyone to stop them from making these highly forbidden by us nuclear weapons. We were the ones that were complaining. We were the ones that wanted it stopped. But everybody was behind us. They just didn't have the courage to say so.
So the President of the United States, very matter of fact, but much like his two previous addresses that were on Truth Social, people got crazy. They said, why isn't this on television? Well, I hate to tell you, in the social media world, and I'm on television, posting is the same thing. And he wants to control the environment. He does not want to get into a situation where people are talking, we're at war, and then someone's like, hey, what about Afghanistan? What about the election? What about the Texas Senate race? He said, I can't do that. It's not fair to the people in theater. There's too many balls up in the air. And also, he wants to make sure he was on the same page with everybody else. Make sure he doesn't do anything to jeopardize any man and woman in jeopardy. And again, today he was very tight on his message. And now he's talking more about the Medal of Honor winner. So, Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't forget, go to BrianKilmeade.com. Find out when I can see you in person in Reno and Evansville, Indiana.